Hi, everybody. Don't know how to make sound work, question mark. Don't know how to get full cast, question mark. Apparently, it is time for the RGH podcast with two real gamers. Because,
yeah, that's right.
You know, Kakis thought he could live that life, but no. He's in Hawaii now. Like, yeah, pathetic. Truly pathetic.
Well, I think what happened is he ran away with all of the Manscaped promo cash and just, he was like, I'm going to take the money and run to Hawaii with it.
Fair. That's probably what it was. Because I haven't seen any of it. I haven't seen a penny.
I haven't. Been.
So, classic. Today, we are going to talk about quite a few things. We actually have a lot of different topics to jump in with. So, yeah. No Man's Sky getting another update. It's like they don't stop. They just keep on updating. Overwatch is teasing a new character, and Overwatch 2 is teasing a new character, I should say. The Zuckerberg hypocrisy is in full swing. We'll talk about that. Freelancing for IGN. They made a post, some controversial, but also some cool things that, you know, have the potential to come from that. The Destiny community just keeps whining.
Shocker. In the most shocking turn of events.
Wow. Incredible. Halo Infinite Battle Royale data mined. We have some voice clips and some other news on that. I hope it's true. It could be insane. Max Payne is getting a remake, and then World of Tanks devs leave Russia. They fire their community manager. Let's talk about that. So,
a lot of stuff, man.
Yeah, it's good to have you back.
It's good to be back. I apologize for my absence the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago today, I was sick as a dog. I was coughing like a mad lad. So if I'd showed up to the show,
no,
I would have been repulsive.
No stress.
And then last week, I was I took a much needed vacation. We haven't taken the kids on a vacation in like 2 years because of COVID. So it was great. Much needed.
Yeah. You guys had some good weather and good times.
Yeah. Great times.
Awesome. What I like to hear. Yeah, now Kakis has gone to Hawaii. Pretty jealous because we were supposed to go together and I got freaking COVID. Like,
yeah.
2 days before our flight, I was like, something's wrong. And then it's like, yeah, I figured it out. So that's too bad. But it is what it is. We're going to New York, not next week, but the week after. So that'll be...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going with Kat. We're doing like a little pre-baby trip because we're like, well,
doing the city, doing the Finger Lakes, or
we're doing New York. We're going to the city. We're gonna go see my buddy Frankie. We're gonna go to his parents. We're gonna go to his family's pizza place and everything. It's gonna be awesome. Can't wait.
He's a great dude.
Oh yeah. And you know, I figure when the babies are here, we can still go to Hawaii and, you know, get a little umbrella and put them on the beach, but I'm not going to take a baby to New York. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. We're going to go
we
now.
We did that. Then. We did. We took when my son was a baby, we did New York City.
Yeah.
So, and it's a challenge.
Speaking of New York City and criminals, No Man's Sky is getting a space pirate update.
I was worried about where you were going with that transition.
That's
like,
the segue.
Hey, we had that kind of podcast.
Those are the segues we've been waiting for. So they got a new space pirates update, and it's actually pretty beefy. But more importantly than that, it's another update. Like, they just keep going with it. It's honestly pretty impressive.
It's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's free.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky, and like, you got to keep an eye on it because there have been a couple of times now where they've run deals like on Steam where it's like No Man's Sky, $5. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, sometimes it's too good to pass up. The game does have a ton of stuff to do. I will say to its credit, like, that's the only game that I can think of in the last couple of years, other than like The Sims, that has interested even my wife enough that I'll be down here streaming during the day and I'll look over and she's actually gaming by herself playing No Man's Sky.
Right.
It's a really, really good game with a ton of content in it. And they just, like you said, they just keep adding into it. So this content drop, it takes a lot of the community feedback and spins it into something else. Because a lot of the community feedback was like, listen, the exploration is top notch. But the like dogfighting, you know, the space combat is kind of lackluster. There's nothing really dynamic or exciting about it. It's hard to track targets, and then you're just holding the button downs. And it's kind of not exciting. So No Man's Sky was like, okay, well, let's address that feedback, but make it something cool, like space pirates.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll whole new class of ships now available with like sails, like these solar sails on them, which kind of leans into that piracy and the smuggling. You can smuggle goods now. You can hire like your own squadron, like pirate smuggler squadron, right, and get in duels. And now the duels are not just in space, because they used to be only in space. But now it can happen in the atmosphere of a planet, too. So you can, like, have pirates buzz past your, you know, your settlement. And you're like, crap, I got to get up there and protect my stuff. So you take to the skies, you're doing dogfights
right
on planets.
And they'll actually attack other settlements, which is pretty cool. So you can kind of defend them. And, I mean, that's just a fun dynamic thing. It's almost like a public event or like a quick time event, sure, like where something's happening, it's dynamic, your world is changing. And, you know, it's kind of like that threat of, well, what if I don't deal with this? You know, is my whole world going to get taken over by pirates? It's pretty sweet. I still haven't played it since launch. I need to fix that, because they keep doing updates, and like three updates ago, I was like, wow, I really should give this a try. And then they updated a few more times. I'm like, oh, you know, I really need to try it. Now there's pirates and it's like, okay, what am I waiting for? I need to just pick a day and do it. There's not much going on in Genshin. So it's like, I'm not going to be missing anything. So
sure,
that's probably going to be added to the list. I have a few backlogged games that I need to get taken care of, but No Man's Sky is definitely up there now.
Yeah, no doubt. It's come full circle to being actually a pretty quality game now. Mm-hmm. And part of this is also, if you're just like not even into space combat per se, there's still other stuff about this content drop that's really helpful. One of them is they like overhauled the system for targeting and tracking other ships when you're flying. Mm-hmm. So now it has like this sort of auto track, like you can select a target and your ship will all automatically try to follow it. Because the accessibility of the flight controls is a real hurdle. So they smoothed that whole thing out, that whole process out. So a lot of quality of life upgrades. The new class of ships are made to smuggle goods. So they have like bigger capacity for storage, which is definitely one of the like end game grinds for No Man's Sky, is upgrading your ship storage so that you can have all of the mods and accessories and store all the goods you need to transport. So there's a lot of quality of life stuff, too, that's really helpful there. Really cool game.
It shows you too, though, like they sold a game, they weren't happy, the community wasn't happy. They went back, they put their nose to the grindstone and they grinded it out, worked on this game, they updated it a bunch. And it kind of reminds me now too, I think it was today or yesterday or something like that, Cyberpunk 2077, the team came out and was like, yeah, there's a lot of work we need to do on it still, and we're going to work on it still. And I don't know what that means, but I mean, some of the stuff they've teased, they've got that whole timeline that was like, yeah, we're going to add swimming and all these different things. It's like, when? If they do, cool. And whether it's 3 months from now or 9 months from now, you can maybe get Cyberpunk 2077 on sale, and it's a completely different game than you started with. Look at No Man's Sky. How do we know that they don't make Cyberpunk? I mean, they've already made it a lot better than it was, but, you know, if they keep going down there, if these devs commit to that and just like improving that game and making it the best quality, maybe we're going to be saying the exact same thing. Oh, Cyberpunk. Hopefully. Cyberpunk, the best game there's ever been. It just took some time to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned Cyberpunk, because we stopped in like a shopping mall halfway back from vacation. We're driving back. We took a break around Nashville.
Uh-huh.
So we went to a shopping mall with the kids because they had like this big American Girl doll store there for my daughter, and she was in heaven. But I took my boy to GameStop, and we're because he's like me as a kid. I just wanted to look at the boxes, like, you know, the rows of boxes and all the games, and just get lost. What could this would be? You know what I mean? So he's in there doing that. And I'm standing there next to my boy, and this other guy, probably my age, walks up and he picks up the box for Cyberpunk at GameStop. They're selling it for, it was a used copy of Cyberpunk for $35. I leaned over to him. I was like, Cyberpunk's on sale for $5 today on Steam. He goes, bro, no way. He puts the box down. He's like, thanks, man.
Yeah.
And he bailed. But yeah, last week, Cyberpunk was literally for one day, it was on sale for $5. It wasn't a good game on launch. Hey, That game is already definitely worth $5. Like, yeah. It's not a bad game. It's
even
still
at
good.
Launch, it's worth $5. Even at launch, it's worth $20, probably. Like, it's a got a story. There's, like, a lot to explore. You can do lots of different builds and paths. So it's, like, that's just a no-brainer. And so if they improve it further, that's going to be the best $5 you've ever spent on a video game. I'll tell you that.
Right.
So, and, you know, it's interesting because with some of these games, it's, like, it's almost the long con. If you look at Terraria, it is one of the most sold games ever. It's got like 40 million copies sold, which even at $5, $10, you know, it's a crazy amount of money. But they keep supporting the game. They always keep updating. The 2.7 update, they're like, we're actually going to do another one. And then 2.9 rolls on, they're like, this is the last one. And then 3.0. And then it's like 4.0. Like, they just keep coming up with updates, even though they say it's the last one. But it's just more value, more value, more value. And then eventually someone's like, I'm going to get this Terraria game now. You know, they keep updating it. There's more stuff. And it truly is one of those games that they've kind of proven that if you keep supporting it, you get those trickle-in sales long-term. And those long-term fans of the game, every time it goes on sale, they're shouting off the rooftops, buy Terraria. Like, I do it now. You know, if people are like, I don't know what to play. And it's like, did you play Terraria? Like, I will shout that game out 200,000 times. I'm giving them free advertising right now on the podcast because I'm just so impressed with what they've done with that game and why they continue to support it. And it's pretty badass.
And that's really, honestly, it's a testament too to the quality of the game when you know that the developer isn't just like, Battlefield 2042, like, well, this didn't work, scrap it, we're already announcing our next title. Like, you know, they believe in their product, they believe in their vision, they believe in their capacity to execute, they believe in their ability to meet the needs of their community. When they constantly stay committed to the game they shipped and say, no, this is our thing, and we won't be satisfied till it is in the best version it can be, like, that's a testament to the devs and to the quality of the game long term. So a lot of these games we're talking about that made it full circle. I kind of think of Warframe that way too.
Yeah.
Like Warframe, they've just constantly updated that game. They have not moved on to some other major title yet. They're just like, no, this is our thing. And we have a vibrant community that loves this game. There's nothing we can't do with this game that we want to do. Like, we're going to see it through. That's great.
Actually, now I want to bring something up quickly because you weren't here for that podcast. Diablo 3 is going on to season 26, and they're making balance changes, like changes to some of the set gear. Like, this game has been out forever and they're still updating it. And the one thing I wanted to ask you, because it kind of ties into this, is like, we saw some more footage of Diablo 4. It looks incredible. It looks really, really good. But I almost have more faith in Diablo 4 now, even though I know they've had their company struggles. But knowing that they supported Diablo 3 until season 26, it's like, what are you going to do for Diablo 4? Which is apparently, you know, rumored to be almost like MMO-like. Like, it's going to be like a very beefy game. You know, I'm wondering, is Diablo 4 going to get this crazy support, this love from the studio, like some of these other games we just talked about?
Right.
I hope so,
because that franchise, I mean, yeah, it's not like I'm chomping at the bit to be supportive of Blizzard and Activision, but that game itself and some of the people that helped made it, dude, that franchise has been so rich with content.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely rooting for the game to succeed. I never root for a game to fail.
Yeah, for sure.
We should move on.
Yeah, so Overwatch 2 is teasing a new character. They're saying the new character will be in the beta, which if you guys missed it, maybe 3 weeks ago, maybe even 4 weeks ago, they said, hey, sign up for the beta if you want to play. And so that thing must be approaching relatively quickly. And so there will be a new character.
Sojourn, right? Was her name?
I think so, yeah. And I didn't get a chance to watch her trailer yet. There's like kind of a player or a character trailer. But I mean, that's hype. I think people will be freaking out about it because, you know, even with one new character, it can change up the game a lot. You know, let's say Reinhardt didn't exist and all of a sudden they add this big shielding guy that completely changes the meta. You know, like that truly does happen. Sometimes the characters aren't that impactful, but we don't even know what the game modes are. You know, we don't
Halo,
know.
Baby.
Right? Did they change Tracer and make her completely different? Like we have no idea really what's going on with this game. And so a new character is really hype, but I think just playing even some of the old characters, like I kind of want to log in and see what my old Genji does and just did they add some passives or some different things? Does he play better in a different game mode? So where's your hype level for Overwatch?
See, I actually went through I played Overwatch for several seasons. I really liked it. I played a ton at launch, dropped it for like two seasons, and then picked it back up and played a couple of seasons again with some buddies of mine. And we always had a good time with it. One of my biggest concerns has always been for that game that I like to play with friends of a very wide skill level range. Mm. So that game got harder when they really committed to this whole like heavy skill based approach. So if you were playing in a group, like you better be playing to win or else you're going to get smacked. And that kind of took some of the fun away because, like I said, I play with a lot of people of varying ranges of skills. Some of them are just really not that great at competitive team games like Overwatch. So hopefully that's something that they dial back a little bit and have a nice, fun, casual atmosphere, as well as the hyper-competitive atmosphere. If they can hit both crowds, I think they got the potential to pull in some pretty crazy numbers like they did when the game first launched, in spite of recent events.
Right.
So I mean, you look at the trailer on Twitter alone already had like, I don't know, it was like 800,000 views or something. So it's like the interest is there. Interest is definitely there.
I'd be curious to check out the YouTube channel. How many views
I'll pull
it has
up right now.
Okay. But yeah, like I like Overwatch, or I liked Overwatch quite a bit. And some of the custom game stuff is pretty good. And I think I just got very bored of the game mode. And like my biggest issue with Overwatch was, I feel like it was really hard to carry people. Like you could absolutely slay out, but if your teammates don't know how to play the game mode, you would lose. And I couldn't handle it. Because when I would play League of Legends and I would pop off and I'd carry the game and I'd win the game, it was a good feeling. But when I would pop off with my Genji and have like 37 kills, two deaths, and but we're still getting hammered, it was like, all right, this is getting really frustrating. And, you know, I understand that there's different, you know, different roles that need to be played. And like, yeah, maybe you're killing, but you're not helping the team. But like, I promise you, I was playing correctly. I promise you, I was on that payload doing everything I could. But it just never felt like it was enough. And there was just something about not feeling like I had the impact that I wanted to on the game that it ended up deterring me long term, kind of thing.
Yeah, I feel you. Those style of games have never been really my thing. I really enjoy the camaraderie. I really like having heroes that are very unique to play. And so that was the saving grace of Overwatch to me, was that I felt a connectedness to a lot of the different characters while I was enjoying hanging out with certain friends. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the fun for me. I did the ranked grind a couple of seasons, but never too seriously. For me, it was always just more about hanging out and shooting stuff. And I did like that they would actively incorporate as much lore as they could with these videos, like the one we got today introducing this character Sojourn. I really like when game developers go out of their way to tell a compelling story.
Yeah.
And that really helps with immersion and feeling connected to these characters. Another game that does that really well, I would say Apex Legends. They do a really good job. Anytime they release a new character, it's not just like, here's a new character, go play him. For the weeks leading up to it, they're like, here's a trailer that's going to explain where they come from, what motivates them, what they're good at, and why they're good at it. You know what I mean? So before you ever play the character, you feel invested in their story. So I think that's really one of the things that they've done well in the past. And if they continue to do that and they continue to tell a compelling story instead of just dropping a competitive game, that's going to give it the most bang.
Yeah, no, I agree. I feel like with Overwatch, you could almost make like an anime out of it, kind of like they did with League of Legends. They've got some really good characters, and I mean, even with Apex, you could do it as well. But they have done a tremendous job with some of the character things. I remember looking at like, I think I've watched all of them, and some of them, like, you almost get teared up. It's like, holy cow, like it's emotional, and you get their backstory, like, who is this person? And I've really enjoyed that. So I hope that it's a banger. I just hope that they have a little bit more fun game modes that can play into the goofiness of this character shooter. And, you know, I feel like the game just innately became so toxic so quickly because it's like, get off Torbjorn because it's not the meta, right? And it's like...
All the memes of... They're like, oh, here's another play of the game. It's just a Torbjorn smacking a turret the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but I like Torbjorn. I want to play him sometimes.
That's right. And then you feel guilty about it. Speaking of descending into toxicity.
Yes.
Do you hear about this announcement from Meta, you know, the metaverse? So Zuckerberg, you know, this whole virtual world you can live in. Mm-hmm. A little backstory. Zuckerberg has historically been hypercritical of platforms that demand a high cut from their creator. So, for example, us on YouTube, let's say YouTube said, okay, for the members of this podcast, but anybody joins to become a member on this podcast, we're going to take 60% of the revenue, and MTash TV, Cacus, you guys can get 40% and split that up. You would think that's kind of a feels bad, wouldn't you, if they're taking the majority of your revenue? Well, Zuckerberg's been critical of platforms that do exactly that. You're a creator on my platform, I'm going to take a huge cut of what you make selling your product here. Well, that's funny because this week he announced that they're going to be taking up to 48% of what creators make on their platform in the metaverse. You know what I mean?
Wow.
So that's a huge
generous
percentage. He's been real critical of Apple, especially, you know, they tend to charge quite a bit for you to sell a product on their platform. That's why Epic was dueling it out with Apple for so long and was like, nah, Fortnite is not going to be on iPhones. It's not going to be on Apple devices because you guys are just being unreasonable with how much you demand. And Zuckerberg was real critical of that. So it's really ironic now that they're like, we're going to take half of what you make in our metaverse.
Yeah. And I don't know why anyone would be hyped with the metaverse. Every picture I've seen is like the first year of Oculus Rift, like the most,
that's right,
the most scuffed looking thing. And it's like, I don't want to live here. This looks like a hellscape. Like it looks just terrible. I have no interest in it whatsoever. I see all this hype for like Web 3.0 and like all this Bitcoin and crypto and ETFs and NFTs. And I feel like so much of it is just dog meat. It is so terrible. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look appealing. It all looks like a big scam trying to make money off people. Like it doesn't seem like it's got any soul to it whatsoever. And it's like, your NFT t-shirt can be in the metaverse. It's like, cool, but I'm not even going to be in the metaverse. And right. I don't think anyone is going to be. It's not going to be adopted.
I wonder, man, like, just because they're not selling anybody on it right now, they really are not giving it any core identifying features that are compelling and interesting to gamers at all. And so I don't know. I kind of wonder if this is something that is specifically going to be designed to target an older audience. I don't know. People who
but are they
going to
get it working? Like, do they even know how to get it functioning?
Well, I don't know. Like, here's the thing. Like, Facebook is such a weird, weird company. Because here in the States, when you think Facebook, you think old people, right? Mm-hmm. You tend to think older, especially like sometimes hyper-conservative communities and boomer audiences and stuff like that. But then at the same time, they own like the most prominent social media platform for specifically like South American and Central American communities for families to communicate. It's very hip, very now in those areas. It's not Facebook there, but on this at the same time, they have a massive audience of young gamers in Asia.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a lot of countries where YouTube is not really like allowed or it's very limited. And so instead, people get their VOD content on Facebook in those countries. So it's so strange, you know, and I don't know where the who is this product targeting? Because I don't think it's me. I have, like you said, no interest.
No.
In this metaverse. I'm not going to be there. So I don't know.
I couldn't care less about it. And I don't know. It just seems like a bunch of snake oil salesmen that are trying to like swindle everyone and like, it's the future. And then a bunch of people jump in because they're like, yeah, it looks like it's all this tech and it's all the future. But all the gamers and all the you look at half the people that are at work at Bungie and they're just like, this is dumbass. Like, this is so stupid. like anyone who's an actual game dev or in tech, they're like, what a dumb, awful industry. Like it's so brutal. It looks terrible. Yeah. Like it's, no one's gonna use this. It's so funny because the only people that want NFTs in games, other than apparently Dr. Disrespect, are people that don't understand what it means to put an NFT into a game. They're like, yeah, well, you don't want your skin to be transferable to another game. That's what an NFT can do. And it's like, if every single company agrees to use the same art, the same rigs, the same animation, like, no, it won't. You can't take your CSGO skin into Valorant. They're not going to recode the game so your NFT t-shirt works. No shot. Oh, you're going to use it in Donkey Kong Online? No, you're not. No, no way in hell. And that's the thing, is all the game devs are like, yeah, this will never happen. But there's still so many people. They're like, it's the future. You're just behind. And it's, I don't know. Maybe someone comes up with a way to make it work, but it is yet to be seen. No one has even theorized a correct way or a legitimate way for it to work. They're just like, can you be cool if we could all fly? Yeah, that would be cool, but it's not in reality, gamer. But let's move on to the IGN story. So, yeah, just a couple days ago, they made a post saying, hey, you want to write some articles? You want to work for IGN? You can do some freelance work and we will pay you. It's not the most pay, but we'll pay you for writing articles. And, you know, I didn't look too heavily in it because I'm not looking to freelance for IGN. I saw some posts saying, this is the worst pay I've ever seen in my life. Why would you do that? But then, you know, even Ryan said earlier, he's like, well, if you get paid $20 to write an article that takes you 10 minutes, like that's not too bad. If it's something you're already passionate about or interested in and you're going to get paid to do it, it's like, is that the worst deal ever? Like, yes, you should be compensated. And you probably shouldn't make your full-time job doing IGN articles for $20.
Freelance, yeah.
But if you throw it in, you're at home, you see something cool in Elden Ring, and you want to write an article, hey, how to get this cool weapon, and they pay you for it, there's some potential there.
That's right. Yeah, and that's the thing, like, because a lot of these, it's kind of, I mean, look at our topic list today. I mean, the font is small because there's a lot of topics. Like, gaming news is just so constant right now. There's just constantly stuff happening in the gaming world. And these companies like IGN are like, yo, we can't keep up, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times it's not like they're not looking for some long, exhaustive article that details everything out for you. A lot of times with journalism, they just want to have an article out quickly in a timely fashion that hits the, you know, the highlights of what's going on and just informs people. That's going to get some clicks. It's going to make them some money on ad revenue on their site or whatever, right? And so an article like that, really, it's not a huge time investment. So I think a lot of people saw that $20 for an article and they're like, oh, that's really unfair. It's like, listen, not really. Not if they're looking to get clicks within 10 minutes of the news breaking. That's it. Because, and I'm sure you can speak to this too, Mike. So I know this even as a YouTuber. If I want to make content on something, a lot of times, unfortunately, it is more lucrative to make a video that is less exhaustive, doesn't have all the details, but just hits the high notes Okay, new gun came out. Here's what it is. Here's what it does. Here's the archetype. Here's me using it in a PvP match. 200,000 views.
Oh, yeah.
I did this on my pulse rifle video for the raid. If I wait 3 days and I make a very detailed video about the pulse rifle, what it can do, what the perks are, and what the best options are, I missed out because that's going to get 30,000. And so journalism is much the same. Like, people don't always want something that's going to be so exhaustive. They just want to be informed quickly about what's going on. And so these articles that they're looking to get for this freelance work, it, like they said, it's like, there's just so much going on. We need help. Like, we can't cover all of this stuff. We need somebody to bang something out 10 minutes after the thing, the news breaks, that's going to get some clicks for us. I think that's kind of fair.
I posted how to get a free 5-star character in Genshin Impact because there's they did that collab with Horizon Zero Dawn and Aloy, and they posted about it.
Yeah.
And so I took a picture like this, with a thumbnail beside the screenshot on Twitter, just like the typical, oh my God. Yeah. I put text above me, free 5-star, upload it, didn't edit the video, 500,000 views. Because
yeah,
this is how you do it. All I did was discuss, how do you do it? You log in between these days and these days, you get a free 5-star. That's all the video is about. But it's like, some content, it doesn't need editing. It doesn't need a story. It just needs to be relevant. It needs to be something that people can act upon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's some of the most valuable content out there. So IGN now has the potential for an army of people who discover it first. They post it instantly. They get those clicks. They get the search algorithm going. You know, they pop up quicker in the searches. People are start sharing it on Twitter, and then it blows up from there. Like, there's a ton of value there, and they're paying peanuts for it. So they're winning. They're absolutely winning. As much as the guy who makes a couple bucks for an easy article he wrote, IGN is the kings there. So
that's right. But hey, if it's a good opportunity, because if you're the guy that has no clout, no reputation as a journalist, and you want to break into that, opportunities like this are kind of hard to pass up. Like, if you can show that you know the basics of journalism and you can bang out quick articles for a quick buck, you know, that's a really good opportunity to get your name out there in that industry and could open up some different doors for you too. So
probably get verified before most me. Content creators.
Before me.
Truly, like, being a journalist is one of the fastest ways and easiest ways to get verified on Twitter. You can have like 200 followers and it's like, oh, what's that? You have an article? You wrote an article? You must be a journalist. We better verify you.
But that's right. Yeah, I know. This guy responds to my tweet and I'm like, oh, he's verified. And I check him out. And he writes, he's a journalist for some publication I've never heard of. He's got 700 followers. I'm like, bro, what the frick?
Must be nice.
Do I have to do?
Now
I'm over here with 110,000 followers on Twitter, and I've got Forbes articles citing my work, but yeah. I'm not verified. I'm not bitter, chat. We can move on.
Let's move on to someone who else who isn't bitter, the Destiny community. What's going on with the Destiny community this week? I saw a couple posts complaining about the complaining, but it just seems like an endless spree. And I don't know if people are bored with the new DLC or if it's just the Destiny community 24/7, but what's going on?
Dude, I wish I freaking knew. Like, some days I feel like the Destiny community is split up into different groups. And there's one group that complains. There's one group that is just satisfied playing their game, you know, and they give their feedback. There's another group that is hyper defensive about the game. It just loves it, and everything Bungie does is good. And then there's a group that complains about the complainers. And that's what I've seen a ton of, like you said, this week, was just people complaining about Destiny. Right. I was like, geez, I had to go digging to find what people were complaining about, because all the posts I saw were people complaining about complainers, not the complaints themselves. And I was like, geez, I got to do some digging here. Turns out it's like, I guess some hyper-competitive people were upset about the fact that Shire's Wrath was basically, not basically free, but You didn't have to go flawless to get an adept version of the gun this week. You could, the confidence card was bugged, and so you could have like 30 losses on your card, but as long as you had 7 wins, you could get adept Shire's Wrath to drop, which is right. Generally reserved for people who make it to the lighthouse. Yeah, it's typically a harder thing to obtain. So I guess some people were a little salty about that. Who knows? Some people were upset about the crafting system, and they're starting to air their grievances about how long it takes to get my god roll crafted deliverance from the raid and all that stuff. I don't know. But it just seems like Bungie will implement new systems, you know, like this crafting system. They'll take a risk on something and they'll still get flack for it. And I'm no Bungie apologist. God knows I've had my grievances and still do, especially as a PvP player primarily.
Ooh, right.
Come on, like, you're killing me here. You're killing me here when most of the maps in the rotation this season are like 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem. But yeah, at the same time, it's like we got to at least encourage creativity. I definitely like when developers take risks, implement new systems, try new things, try to reach a broader audience so that more people are interacting with the content, because that's better for everybody, especially the people complaining about this was another thing this week. Is skill-based matchmaking here? Is it lobby balancing? And people complaining about that too. It's like, if we never call attention to goodness, then the Destiny community is just going to be seen as a whiny group of people on Twitter and the forums, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. other people involved in other gaming communities are just going to continue to see us that way and not want to get involved.
Right.
And I definitely want Destiny to grow. Part of that is getting new people to play the friggin' game. So if we could stop looking like a bunch of whiny babies, that might help a little bit. I don't know.
Fair. Did you see that DMG posted today about connections and Frostbolt replied and everything? Did you see that?
I didn't see that exchange.
Well, I don't know. I can't remember if it was GameSager who like made the initial post about it. Or
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
He was talking about a different game. So I saw that one, but then someone posted, and DMG essentially said, "There's no skill-based matchmaking. It's not skill-based matchmaking. I check it all the time with the teams to make sure it's not in the game."
I did see that.
And then Frostbolt's like, "Okay, and that's like maybe they don't call it that, but like." If this is connection-based matchmaking, these connections are terrible. Like, if this is the best connection possible, how? That doesn't make sense. But also, the lobby balancing. And so I think a couple people jumped in to talk about it. But like, there's no way there isn't some lobby balancing or something. Because the connections are awful overall. If you look at that game, the mass majority of the games have some scuff things. Like, I can't play... If I played 10 games, I would say 5 at least are there's one player jogging around or there's just some different things. Maybe it's 4, maybe it's 3, but it feels like it happens more often than it should. And the team balancing is like there's absolutely something there. So I think that, you know, even DMG, bless his soul, is like, well, they said there's no skill-based matchmaking. And it's like, well, but it's not connection-based. There's no way that it's just based on connection. Because, well, it's just not. I've played shooter games for my whole career. I know what's going on. I can feel when a lobby is connection based and typically easy because we know the stat distribution. Most people are average. So if you throw me in a connection based lobby, I will eat them. I will eat them for breakfast. And that doesn't happen. Maybe I'm washed, but you know, I'm glad I'm not the only one. Frostbolt kind of called him out on it. And he's like, I think there's something going on here.
And I definitely can attest that I've had days where I'm confused because I look at the active player count and I'm like, there's plenty of people playing. So why is it that even when the game says we're breaking this lobby up because it's imbalanced, why is it that I end up in the same lobby? It just puts the same, it's like we're breaking these teams up and then it's like, who's online? And then it pulls those same players back in and makes the lobby again from the ground up. And it's like, I'm seeing the same names. And a lot of times it's like, I often see names consistently throughout my gaming session where it's like, I'll be in the same lobby with them for a couple of games. I'll be out of a lobby for a couple of games in a different one. And then I see their names again, and it's consistent throughout the day. So it's like, if it's purely connection-based, why am I matching the exact same people all the time? It's like it's pulling from a player pool of like 200, not 20,000, you know what I'm saying? So it's, I definitely have those moments where I'm just not sure I'm buying. Yeah. You know?
Now, let's move on to the Halo Infinite thing, because this is juicy. One of the studios working on Halo Infinite a couple days ago posted saying, hey, we've got some real cool stuff we're working on. Like, wink, wink, it's coming. But then there's apparently a data mine that has a voice line.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things that the data mine. Well, a number of things. One of them is definitely a game mode called Last Spartan Standing, which sounds kind of, you know, BRE. But the biggest thing was that a voice line was data mine of the, you know, Halo announcer going Battle Royale.
Right.
It's so, like,
okay.
That's kind of like a dead giveaway.
Now, the only issue I have with that is they have trouble getting co-op going in the campaign. Can they get a battle royale running? Can they get multiple people on a map? I don't know. Maybe they can. My question, though, is like, is it going to be another map? Are they going to reuse some of the campaign locations? There are so many things going in my head. Is it going to be like a big team battle size map and Last Spartan Standing? Is 16 people or 32 people like a small version of it? You know what I'm saying? With the high TDK. Right. I don't know what that looks like, but a lot of people have come out and say, you know, said that Halo Infinite is pretty much dead already and it needs a BR to have any fighting chance. Like, if you don't launch the BR as a shooter game now, you better be doing something immaculate and impressive, or else you're dead in the water. Like, Valorant isn't a BR, but it's the first like ability Counter-Strike, you know, wannabe. And it's doing incredible. It's doing so well. And so if you're not breaking the mold somehow or completely changing that game type, BR is like a must and I don't know if it's because all of the Zoomers, like all these youngsters, like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the watchability, you know, on Twitch and different things or what. But I know all the people that I played hockey with that do game, that's all they do is BRs. They don't play any other games. I've never seen them play Valorant. They don't touch anything else. They don't watch anything else. It's either Apex or Warzone or some other BR, and that's all they care about and have for some time.
It hits a wide audience. And this is the thing, like, my brother, he's 4 years older than me, has no interest in gaming. He does not game except for one thing, PUBG Mobile. And it's like, even as somebody who isn't interested in gaming, sometimes they really like battle royales for some reason. I don't know what it is about the pull of a BR that's really accessible and free, but if they have some pull.
I will say, when PUBG came out, that was my first experience with it. I remember my first win. Like, my heart was pumping. I was like,
yeah,
it's me versus one person. I've lasted this long. Like, if I win this, like, it truly was one of the pinnacle adrenaline moments in all of gaming. I've played horror games, all these things, but that first win, I remember it. I ran into the, I won the BR. I filmed it. I showed Kat and I was like, look, there was all these people and then there was only me and I won. Like, it was a big moment. So I can get that. Getting your first win in a BR game is
that
probably
hit,
right. It's a surge of dopamine injected right into your veins. So maybe we're like a little numb to it or burnt out because we played the PUBG for a long time and we, you know, we played Apex. So maybe it's not as important to us, but.
And even getting close can be a nice dopamine. Even just winning your drop zone.
Yeah.
Sometimes can be a huge. I remember, like, there are times where I wouldn't win the game, but I'd land at Tilted Towers and I'd get 10 kills and I'd walk out of Tilted, the king of Tilted Towers, for that match. And I would feel very accomplished at the end of a gaming session, even though I didn't win the match. I'd be like, yo, but I took Tilted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that I think that even, I don't know, even just for some people, getting one kill in a battle royale can feel really good just because you understand that the stakes are so high.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I think that obviously they're going to reach a much wider audience if they can manage to launch a polished battle royale. But listen, at this point, if they have a BR that's ready to go, part of me is also going to be a little salty because I'm like, listen, your campaign map isn't even done. Like, there's spaces on the campaign map where they literally put an invisible wall because they're like, that spot over there that was supposed to be finished ain't finished. So put the invisible wall up. There's no forge mode yet. Listen, you couldn't play co-op. We had no roadmap for our seasons. So if they, like, were, if they just dropped a polished BR, part of me would be a little bit salty. So I'm like, okay, so you could bypass all this other stuff that people were really adamant about and have been given feedback about. I don't know.
We saw that, like, multiple of the devs, like, directors, like, came left. Like, they had a lot. How tragic would it be if those data mined files are just, like, old files in the system, and it's like, yeah, there's no BR at all. Like, no shot. That was an old line we recorded 4 years ago, and it never made it into the game. Like, and that is a potential. There was data mines of, what was it, Arms Day? Or Arms Race and Destiny, everyone's like, this whole new event, it never even happened. There was nothing to do with it in the game. There still hasn't been 5 years later, but I don't know. Fingers crossed, absolutely. Another thing that looks really cool, Max Payne Remake. You might not have even heard of Max Payne before, depending when you started gaming. I remember Max Payne on the PC. I had Max Payne 2.
Heard of it.
No, he's a zoomer. But yeah, you said a full remake with Rockstar, and
This is actually pretty cool to me because it's not like we're just gonna remaster this old game that people liked. This sounds like a passion project. So Remedy made Max Payne. Rockstar published Max Payne 2, and then 3 was developed by Rockstar. If memory serves me correctly, don't quote me on that. But this is Remedy's passion project. Rockstar, who, I don't know if you know this, but they're freaking loaded because they've made, I'm not making this up, billions of dollars off of GTA 5 and GTA Online. So they're bankrolling the development for Remedy to develop Max Payne again. So from the ground up, full remake. So this is going to be pretty well polished, it sounds like. Especially considering this is a game that had such a huge cult following back in the day, and the developers kind of looked to it as the genesis of what really led them into being who they are today.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be like if you asked Bungie to do a remake of Combat Evolved, right? This would be them reaching deep into their roots of something that means quite a bit to them. Instead of handing it off to a different studio that has no, like, this is what I'm worried about with Fable. Not the same devs. It's completely different people who just have the rights to it, right? So I'm a little concerned about this. But this is like, no, these are people who are very passionate about this game specifically. So they're gonna, I would expect, do it justice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if nothing else, like, the way I look at it, it's not going to be some multiplayer game changer. It's probably going to be a, you know, pretty dark solo shooter story game with some, you know, some mystery to, or not mystery, but just like, it's got more of like, it's got a emotion behind it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but like the Max Payne, it's like a shooter. You go a bit for the story. And like, you know, like, I guess the world that it is, and you don't go in expecting it to be like streamed, and like, it's kind of like something you just enjoy for yourself. That's the way I'm going to play it. I'm not going to stream it or anything. I'm just going to, you know, go back and get some nostalgia trips going.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, because that was like, that was a big deal when that game came out when we were teens or whatever, because it's like, bullet time, yo, like slow, like freaking The Matrix. Are you kidding me? We could do that in a video game. That was unheard of at the time. No one was doing that.
So. Yeah, it was very like stylized, and so now give it 20 years or 20, like it was a long time since I played Max Payne like originally on the PC. Like I can't even remember if it was Max Payne 1 or 2 when I played it, but you know, it's been a long time for me, so I can't wait to see. Because you look at Final Fantasy VII Remake, and it's like a whole new experience, a whole new world. You view the characters differently than you ever did, and it's just like reimagined how they've done it. So, yeah, it'll be good.
And the thing is, they've got like Remedy has the tools to make Max Payne work. Because I mean, did you ever play the game Control?
I haven't yet. No.
That game was so freaking good. And I know a number of people who point to that game as one of their favorites of all time. My brother-in-law, that's his favorite game of all time, and he's a diehard gamer.
Yeah.
It was very well executed, and it has that same kind of vibe. It's got the mystery to it. It's got that sort of ethereal aspect to it. And it's very ability focused, you know, like levitating and using psychic abilities. So you think Remedy, they want to do Max Payne justice. Now they've got these tools they didn't have back then.
Right.
To make Max Payne, you know, maybe be the best version of itself it could have been. It was probably the best version of itself it could have been back then. But knowing what they know now about game development,
it's a new world.
Knock it out of the park. A whole new world. That's right.
And aren't they making like another, like an arena shooter or something like that?
They're making a PvP shooter.
Yeah, like a PvP shooter, yeah. So yeah, I can't wait to see what they do.
Maybe based in the same world.
Max Payne. No.
Hey!
Right? Right? Anyways, let's move on to the world of tank stuff. So if I understand this correctly, the community manager for World of Tanks was like all for this invasion. And they're like,
actively supported the invasion of Ukraine.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, that's incredible. I'm so happy for you. You're fired. And he's like, hey, what? And then they're like, yeah, actually, anyone who supports this, you can have the building. We're getting the hell out of there. And they dipped out. The World of Tanks devs leave the country. And they're like, if you're with this, you can stay here. You're fired. We don't want anything to do with you. And they just left.
It's absolutely insane. Like, they're not a small developer. I mean, their games, World Tanks, World of Battleships, and they've got like 8 other games too under their umbrella that they've developed. They reach a pretty wide audience globally because of the accessibility of their games. And they hand out like a really good sponsored content too. I don't know about you, but I mean, they'll come at you with some good offers. That they clearly have the budget for it. But anyways, yeah, they're like, okay, we're time to leave Russia. Y'all can stay here if you want. Keep the building, you know, pay to keep the lights on. That's fine, but we are dipping. If you stay here, you don't carry our name. You can be your own independent game developer. That's fine. We don't care. But anybody who wants out, come on with us. We're leaving. So there's kind of a crazy situation. I can't imagine what it must be like to be living that.
No.
That's a different world.
My question is, did they all get in tanks and drive off into the sunset? You know, like, did they just drive in the sunset and like a tiger and just but they've got money. So they can do whatever they want. Like, they hired Arnold Schwarzenegger for a couple ads, and like they've hired some like big names for World of Battleships and all these things. So I think they'll be okay. But I was talking to Ryan earlier too. Raid Shadow Legends, they're in Ukraine, and they had to move, you know, to another location because they just the risk involved. And so that is a pretty crazy thing there. And I mean, you know, that's the thing too, is we talked about China just saying, oh yeah, we're not supporting any more new games. And miHoYo for Genshin Impact, they fled their company to Singapore. And like, that's crazy, because we worry about our jobs and like, oh, what if YouTube just wants to change the rules on us, or Twitch changed the rules? Some of these some of these game devs, they're like in a country and it's like, we have to leave a country. Like we don't just have to figure out, we have to leave the country or change everything about our company. That is pretty scary because there's a lot of moving parts there too. There's a lot of livelihoods.
Your families.
That, families and friends and all your employees. Like, it's brutal. Man. So
it is absolutely brutal. Yeah.
But those are the main topics for today. We will take a few moments if you want to ask any questions. Thank you so much to the members and stuff. I saw Falcon Arrow. I think it was 19 months. Thank you so much for that. We appreciate it. And
I'm just going to say that if you want to meet that man, he works in like right next to Central Park in New York City.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if that's where you're going to be,
I'll tweet it out. I'll be like, here's the time. Here's the place. Bring the best pizza slice you can.
That's right.
If you hear the sound of a chipmunk, that's me.
A chipmunk in Central Park.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. If y'all have any questions you want to lay on us, feel free. Go for it. We appreciate you guys. I know that these last few weeks have been a little dicey just because having three guys who have their own separate families and separate schedules, sometimes it's a challenge, and I know these past few weeks it's just not lined up for us all three to be there, so we appreciate you guys being patient with us during that.
Yep. But it's always fun getting together and talking about gaming, so, you know, you guys are real gamers, you're always here. Where's Cacus?
Today?
Hawaii? Piece of trash?
Yeah, jerk abandoned us.
Must be nice. Are you guys enjoying Moon Knight? I haven't watched it.
I am.
You like it?
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I really do like it. I won't give any spoilers, but I was a fan of the comics, and so I was really concerned when they first showed the trailers. I was like, are they like not sticking to the story at all, or what's the deal here? But they kind of like jump into an arc that's like several series into the comics. And it makes sense, like, in retrospect, knowing what I know now, a couple of episodes in, I'm like, this totally tracks with the comics. But I thought their advertising for it was superb because people who were into the comics were initially upset because it looked like this is not track. And then when the arc started unfolding, they're like, oh, this really totally tracks. Yeah. So,
see, I don't even know what that reference is, but now I'm intrigued because I'm like, okay, I might just look at a couple synopsis or something like that and like what, or you know what, even better, I'm going to turn the stream off and I'll just ask you and then you can walk me through it.
Yeah, I'm really digging it. In fact, as soon as we're done, I'm going upstairs because my wife's waiting on me to finish the podcast so we can watch the latest episode.
Nice. Would you consider getting a guest host if one of you were away? Probably not. Because it just pulls away from the feeling of the podcast, and no one is a real gamer like us. So it's just, it wouldn't be fair to you.
And a half real gamers.
Yeah. Did you play the Lego Star Wars game?
The newest one? The Skywalker something, right?
Apparently it's incredible. I haven't played it, but apparently it's incredible.
That's all I've heard is that it's incredible. So I'm thinking about getting it for my boy for next Sunday's Easter. We got Easter coming up. So we usually get the kids like a Easter gift.
Nice. Yeah, we got Ben's 12th birthday is today. And he just wants clothes. He is like obsessed with looking good. He wanted a new hairdo. He wants new clothes. I'm like, geez, this guy's a stud. Some girl, he had a toque with like a little pom-pom on it. She took the pom-pom off and ripped it off his toque and everything. I was like, someone wreck your toque? He's like, yeah, it's Jasmine. Like, yeah, it was what it is. Like, you could just tell he's just got these little girls chasing after him, and my stress levels are rising, but
that's right.
We're gonna go for his gift. We're gonna go shopping, and I'm like, really? I would want like a game or something. No, he wants the coolest new pants and shirt, and it's like, all right, my guy, you be careful out there. You be careful.
That's right.
Elijah with a $3 donation. Howdy, boys! Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
what single player games are we playing right now? I just got back from vacation and the grind for the Witch Queen has died down a little bit. I've been getting back into Horizon Forbidden West because I didn't get a chance to finish it because I was taking it slow. Like I was doing every side quest, I was exploring every corner of the map, and so I still have plenty of that left to go. And I think that game is superb, so I jump back into that. But for me, honestly, my free time lately, I got sucked in hard into a book series.
Really?
I asked people for recommendations. I was like, I'm you know, doing a road trip with the kids, going on vacation. I want a new series of books to read. Do you guys have any recommendations? And one of the most recommended series was this the series called the Stormlight Archives. And so I got the first book called The Way of Kings, just based off a Twitter recommendation. And it's like, I got it as an audiobook because I was like, I'm going to be driving. And I really want to just be able to listen to it and tune out for a while because it's driving halfway across the country. And I got hooked. And it's a long book. It was like 48 hours. And like, I got to like the last quarter of the book and I already ordered the second one hardcover. So I'm sucked in hard. Like if I'm not working right now, I'm like literally to the point where the kids are, I finished my dinner and the kids have like, you know, 5 minutes left before they're going to be done. And so I'm like, I got 5 minutes. I run upstairs, like flipping through the pages. I'm like,
grab a couple chapters,
get a couple of pages in real quick, fold it and run back down. So I'm hooked.
Did you ever watch the Redwall, or did you ever read the Redwall books?
I didn't.
That's like one of the only series I've ever read. And there was maybe like, I don't know how many now, but there was like maybe 15 books. And the Redwall books, there's this place called Redwall Abbey. And it's like, you know, like it's an abbey. It's a little kind of like church looking guy. And the characters are all like animals. Like they're like mice, but they're like humans. Okay. But there's like, it's almost like different like nationalities or different things. So like the hares are like British and they're called like the Long Patrol and they're like pip pop cheerio, and so they're so they're like that. And then all the bad guys are always like rats and you know, weasels and stuff like that. It's such a great world. I would recommend it, honestly. I bet you would like it even now. Like I think an adult would like those books because I think I missed some of the stuff going on just because it, you know, it's a lot of pages and there's a lot going on. But like there's like they call it like Salamandastron, I believe, and it's like essentially it's a badger den, and there's like the badger lords, and there's only like one badger lord per generation because they're like, you know, and so you start looking at it, it's like, well, it's almost like real life. Like there might be one badger in the area, like that maybe is like the lord of that area, but they were always like this big beefy thing. Because then you look at the context, it's like, well, yeah, like if a badger came into the battlefield against a bunch of rats, like it would be a pretty deadly force,
monster,
right? And so they've got all these stories and I loved those books so much. And I think I might read them again because I have a bunch of them here and Ben is getting to the age where he could probably start reading them. And I keep hyping them up to him and he's like, I don't know. And so I keep hyping them up and I'm like, well, I'm just going to read it then. If you're not going to, I'm all jealous. But those are awesome, awesome books.
We got a couple more donations. Chip Cunningham, good to see you, brother. It's good to see you. Thanks for the $5 dono. Elijah with another $2. I'm not familiar with that book. No.
No, me either. I don't do a lot of reading. I probably should do more. I don't know. I play lots of games and like story games like Undertale and Hollow Knight. And I play a lot of single player games just for me. But honestly, one of my main things is like roguelikes. Because you can play them and it's a different time, like a different game every time. I've been playing Binding of Isaac a lot lately and I do lots of stuff like that. Just
I hope he was talking about that one.
Yeah. Or like Slay the Spire, Hades, anything that's a roguelike I typically enjoy. But that's,
I think Returnals just came out with new content, didn't it?
Yeah, I haven't even played that one yet. I don't have a PlayStation. I should get one.
Yeah, you should.
Or tell them to get it on PC and then I don't have to.
There's that too.
I'm boycotting the PlayStation.
I'm planning on getting a buckling and getting an Xbox Series S or X.
Oh, really?
In anticipation for Starfield.
Oh, true.
I could do it on PC too, but part of me wants to have another. I'm kind of old fashioned like that.
My fingers are crossed. I'm praying that game kicks ass.
Dude, I want to get lost in it. Mm-hmm. I want it to be so good.
For sure. Anyways, we will end the episode there. That was episode 81 of the RGH podcast. We will be doing this next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. All three of us should be there. So stay tuned for that. Thank you so much. I'm M-Tashed.
I'm True Vanguard.
And this was the Real Gamer Hour.